Canto 3, Chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Shuka said, "The great devotee Uddhava, questioned by Vidura about what could be said regarding the dearest one, reflected upon the Lord but could not reply immediately because he was overwhelmed by emotion. He was someone who in his childhood, being 5 years old, called by his mother for breakfast, did not like to have it because he was absorbed in playing the servant of Lord Krishna. How would such a servitude of Uddhava have slackened in the course of time? So, when he was simply asked to speak about him, everything of the Lord's lotus feet popped up in his mind. For a moment, he fell completely silent because of the nectar of the Lord's feet. Strong as he was and well matured in the union of devotion, he became fully absorbed in the happiness of that excellence. Every part of his body showed the signs of transcendental ecstasy, and when tears filled his eyes because of missing him so much, Vidura could see that he had reached the object of his greatest love. Slowly, Uddhava returned from the world of the Lord to the human world, and wiping his tears away, he spoke affectionately to Vidura about all these recollections. Uddhava said, "What can I say about our well-being now the son of Krishna has set, and the house of my family has been swallowed by the great serpent of the past? How unfortunate this world is, and especially the Yadu dynasty, that, living together with the Lord, did not recognize him any more than the fish recognized the moon. His own folk, the Satvatas, were audacious people with a good judgment of character who could relax with him being the head of the family, and thought of him as the one behind everything. The intelligence of the souls who are innerly of full surrender to the Lord will never go astray because of the words used by others contaminated by the influence of the bewildering external reality of the Divine Person. He who showed his form to everyone in the world managed to put an end to it by removing himself from the eyes of those people who lived without penance and were unsatisfied to see him. The form he showed in the mortal world was perfectly suited for his pastimes that demonstrated the power of his inner magic, his yoga maya. It led to the discovery of his wonders, his supreme opulence, and the ultimate ornament of all ornaments, his feet. All the inhabitants of the three worlds who during King Yudhishthira's Rajasuya royal sacrifice witnessed his all-attractive form were perplexed and thought that the craftsmanship of Brahma's universal creation had been surpassed with him being present in the mortal world. Because of his smiles, playful nature, and glances, the women of Raja became more and more attached to him and followed him with their eyes, so that they completely distracted sat down with their minds in the clouds, without attending to their household duties. The unborn one who yet took birth, the infinitely merciful Lord and ruler over the spiritual and material realm, appeared for the sake of the devotees as the fortunate one, the Lord of the opulences, as Bhagavan, who accompanied by all his associates is as fire to all the others who, like Kamsa, living to their own material standards, constitute a plague. It distresses me to see how he, being unborn, so amazingly took his birth in the prison where Vasudeva lived, how he in Vraja at home with Vasudeva lived like he was afraid of the enemy Uncle Kamsa, and how he, the unlimitedly powerful one, fled from Mathura city. My heart hurts when I think of what he said in worship of the feet of his parents. O mother, O father, in great fear of Kamsa we failed in our service. Please be pleased with us. How can one forget him once one has the dust of his lotus feet in the nose, he who by the mere raising of his eyebrows dealt the death blow to the burden of the earth? Did your goodness not witness with your own eyes how during Yudhishthira's royal sacrificial ceremony, the king of Chedi, despite his being jealous of Krishna, attained the perfection, the fulfillment most desired by all the yogis who, by dint of their yoga, manage to tolerate it to be separated from him. And certainly, also others in human society have achieved his heavenly abode. They who as warriors saw Krishna's very pleasing lotus-like face and eyes on the battlefield that was purified by Arjuna's arrows. He is no one else but the unique Grand Lord of the threefold reality by whose independence supreme fortune is achieved, and at whose feet countless kings full of desires bow their helmets, being of worship with all the paraphernalia under the direction of the eternal keepers of societal order. For that reason we as servitors in his service are in pain, O Vidura, when we see how he, before King Ugrasena, expectantly sitting on his throne, submitted himself with the words, O my lord, please see it this way. To the shelter of whom else should I take? Oh, who else would assure a greater mercy than he who, despite the faithlessness of that she-devil, who in envy poisoned her breast for nourishing him to death, granted her the position of a mother? I think that they, who as opponents are waging against the Lord of the Threefoldness, are factually great devotees because they, in their preoccupation of fighting him, could see him coming forward on his carrier Garuda with his chakra weapon. Born from the womb of Devaki, in the prison of the king of Bhoja, the Supreme Lord, being prayed for by the Creator, appeared to bring welfare on earth. Thereafter, he was brought up in the cow pastures by his foster father Nanda, where he, out of fear for Kamsa, together with Baladeva, resided secretly for 11 years the way one covers a flame. Surrounded by cowherd boys herding calves, the Almighty One roamed on the banks of the Yamuna through gardens that vibrated with the chirping of the heavenly birds in their many trees. The alluring display of the pastimes of his youth could only be appreciated by the inhabitants of Vraja, the land of Vrindavana, where he, looking like a lion cub, just like other kids, cried and laughed and was struck with wonder. Tending the treasure of beautiful cows, he as the source of happiness enlivened the cowherd boys by playing his flute. The great wizards, engaged by the king of Bhoja to assume any form they liked, were upon their approach in the course of his pastimes killed by him who acted just like a child playing with dolls. To help the inhabitants of Vrindavana, being perplexed by the great trouble of drinking poison from the snake Kaliya in the water of the Yamuna, he subdued the chief of the reptiles. After coming out of the water, he caused the cows to drink it, proving it natural again. Desiring the proper use of the wealth of Nanda, the opulence of the king of the cowherds, he, with the assistance of the Brahmins, helped them to perform worship for the sake of the cows and the land. Indra, angry upon being insulted, highly perturbed, created a heavy downpour of rain above Vraja. The cowherds, thereupon, were protected by the merciful Lord with his pastime of lifting the hill Govardhana that served as an umbrella, O sober Vidura. One autumn, he, during a night brightened by moonlight, enjoyed it to please the women by devoting himself to singing songs, delighting in their midst as the face of the night's beauty in person.